Pride Daily.
Hi there, I'm Kev McGrath, and this is Pride Daily. A homophobic TikToker's crying his little heart out over AI videos portraying him as gay. Next, as video games firm Electronic Arts is sold to a Saudi-led consortium, is their LGBTQ+ content at risk? And Sylvester Stallone's wife says the children of Hollywood stars turn out transgender because their lives lack structure. Sylvester's clearly the brains of the outfit. Pride Daily is the world's only daily LGBTQ+ news podcast, bringing you the top three global stories in just 2 minutes. Everyone's welcome. Search Pride Daily in your pod app.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, yoga, sleep, and modern fertility. We are super happy to have them on board, making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Hi, folks. Jamie and I here.
Jamie's happy.
Jamie's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I don't know what that was, but anywho.
Nice. Jamie's just back from vacation.
I am. I just got back from Florida for our winter break.
Here's a controversial question, it's not, Jamie. Is it a vacation when you go with your children?
Absolutely not.
No, it's a family trip.
We were in the sun, so, you know, we're blessed for that.
Oh my God, hashtag blessed.
I was going to say hashtag blessed, but I didn't want to be that obnoxious.
Don't ever say
that. You
know,
so it is a vacation because we got to go somewhere, you know, but flying with little kids is not very fun.
Especially the age that Orion's at.
Oh, he just
running up and down the aisles.
And trying to grab the seat in front of him, climb over the seat, trying to touch the person's hair.
You
in
are
front,
that mom.
Trying to talk, hi, hello. Like, it's just, and then they feel like they have to say hi. And then you're like, okay, don't look back because I don't want them to think that I want them to interact with him. But it's like so awkward. And then he's got to go for a run in the aisle. You know, it's fun.
I hated that time. I had this one time where we flew and Henry was like maybe 15 months and there was these two ladies across the aisle, these like sort of like Russian-esque sort of ladies, and they were like, give me that baby.
Oh.
And I was like, and I was so like, my hair was everywhere. It was like so Cheerios hard. All over me. I was like, sure. I like handed these strangers my baby. And then after like 10 minutes when they could not get him to calm down, they'd hand it back and they made this face like, he's broken.
Yeah.
And I know.
It's so hard. I flew to San Francisco when Orion was 4 months with him, just me, because dad was really sick. So I had to go
I
had a 4 month old and I had to take him because I'm the one with the boobs, you know.
And it was also your dad.
And maybe, it was my dad. That. Well, I could have left him, but he was still breastfeeding.
Oh, I would have been like formula.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I brought him. But I wanted him to see my dad one last time. Anyway, okay, now this is getting morbid. And so I had to go to the bathroom at one point and I had
I let
strangers hold my baby.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to do.
You have to.
Yeah, it was like.
There was this woman. This was on a flight recently. I was on a trip for work. It was like to LA. So you're talking like a 6 hour flight. And there was this woman who had a tiny baby and a young kid. And she had, and I think another kid. And she didn't have enough seats. And it was so heartbreaking because she was like, well, I guess I could get another seat or something. And because they were like, you can't hold both kids in your lap. And so finally I ended up moving seats to give her the spare seat. And I said, I can take the baby if you need me to for takeoff and landing. So I held her child for takeoff and landing.
Good for you.
But then she passed out, went to bed. And I was like, at one point I was like, do I wake her up to give her baby back?
Oh, you
I was
still
like,
had the baby?
I still had the baby.
And
she was
fell asleep.
Yeah.
Who falls asleep?
I know. When a random stranger has your baby.
Crazy.
And I didn't know how long to keep the baby.
Oh,
it was
my
a
God.
Very, and everyone was staring at me. And I was just like, this is, because, and then I was like, I don't know, like, how comfortable do I get with this baby? It was very weird.
You get comfortable with babies too.
I
know.
I
held it out so long before I had to finally like give in and give the baby. I went to the bathroom once holding him. And then I was like, I can't do that again.
That's
I can't
awful.
Do that again. It's a long flight.
It is. Well, by the way, okay. So Jamie had that vacation. In another week or so, I'm going on vacation where we're just like, you know, going to Club Med and my kids, and I'm going to be like, you guys go to the camp now.
I can't wait.
And Mary and I are going to have rum punch and play tennis.
I mean, I will say also, it was fun because we go to Universal Studios and
I love that
because
place.
I have a friend who works there and it's free. And she, my daughter is a daredevil. She does not care. So it's fun. Like roller coasters are so fun with her. But we can't all go on together because we have the baby. So
no, you either all have to go or one person has to sit. And Mary doesn't like roller coasters. So when we went to Universal and to Disney, Mary had to go on every single thing because I couldn't take both kids. Right. And Mary just closed her eyes during every roller coaster ride.
We would go on as a family, but the baby's still too little. So that's frustrating. So, and both of us love roller coasters so much that one of us has to be like, okay, you get this one, you know?
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. Well, listen, we got one order of business before we bring in our next guest, which is that you guys might remember, we called her Lisa the Therapist.
She has an episode.
But she talks about disclosure. And so she has this thing, we talked about this in the episode, called the Tip Top Workshop.
Yes. And one is coming up on April 19th.
Let's tell them what the workshop is, Jamie.
Yeah. So
it's in New York City, by the way. This is for New York City families.
It's an interactive program for donor-conceived children and their parents. So the children get to learn, basically they learn they're not alone, they'll be supported, and they hear from and see all these children who've had similar experiences because they're all donor-conceived children in this room, so it's a really safe space. And they learn how to better understand their temperament and honor their feelings regarding being a donor-conceived child so that they're going to feel better prepared to manage difficult conversations, which we all know it comes up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the better you can prepare your kids, the better.
Yeah, and the parents are also going to be going through stuff and they're going to be learning about the similar experiences and how they can be supportive and about being allies for the kids' self-discovery. It's really fantastic.
Really cool. And then like at the end, everybody goes into a room together and shares everything they learned and sounds beautiful. I will be there with my family.
And it's going to be on Sunday, April 19th from 10:30 to 1:30. And it's going to be at the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Center in New York. The cost is $399, but lunch is included. And if you do the early bird action, which is before March 15th, you can get it for $350.
Yeah, and that's $399 per family.
Yes,
or
yes,
$350
yes.
per family.
So if you're interested in this, you're going to email Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y, at familybuilding.net, and that'll help you register.
I would love to see a lot of our community there. It would be a really cool community event for us.
Absolutely. I love that.
Let's talk donors. Okay. Let's talk family.
All right, let's talk about our guest.
Okay.
Renee Von Medding.
Von Medding.
We interviewed her from Dublin. She's a writer and a blogger and an actress, and she's an activist and an advocate for LGBTQ parents and families.
Do you always feel like our guests are like so much smarter and better than us?
Because you feel like that, because that's true. That's why you feel that way.
The things they tell us they're doing, we're like, oh, wow. She's making change.
She has this organization called Equality for Children, and we are going to, in this interview, we really get into it. She's suing the Irish government. I love this lady.
As you do.
Let's hear this interview, shall we?
Let's hear it. It's really good.
Shall we? Hi, Renee.
Hi, Renee.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. End of the day, so a little bit tired.
Yes, it's the end of the day for you. It's the middle of the day for us.
Yes.
Because you are in Dublin?
Ireland, yeah.
Wow. This is our first. Oh, no, it's
second.
Not. It's our second across the seas.
Okay.
It was a man named Nate, and he donated sperm from London.
Mm-hmm.
And he donated because of our podcast, which made us feel very good.
So we made babies.
Were their children conceived as a result?
We actually don't know yet because he was actually just in the final stages of the screening process when we spoke with him.
Mm-hmm. You could have little podcast babies.
I think we do. I just had like a vision in my head of like little animated podcast babies, like with diapers.
And they're in hot pink.
We need to have Barry make that image.
Okay. So, you know, we do our 30-second elevator pitch. So I'm going to cue the music and I'm going to point to you and you got 30 seconds to give us your family setup. Are you ready? Okay, here we go.
Hi, my name is Renee. I'm from Dublin. I have a wife called Audrey. We have two daughters. One is Ava, who's 3. Our other daughter is Aria, who is 1. And we conceived them through reciprocal IVF, which is not available in Ireland. So we had to go abroad to avail of treatment. I carried the babies. We used Audrey's eggs. And we're not entirely sure if we're done yet.
Oh, that was so good.
That was perfect.
On the button.
So wow, people are getting really good at this. Like before, that was amazing. Okay, so much to unpack here.
Yep.
Let's start. You said it was like you did reciprocal IVF, but it was not available in Ireland. So let's talk that. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So when we originally decided we wanted to have kids, like about 5-6 years ago, we decided we wanted to do reciprocal IVF. We didn't know it was actually a thing that you could do, but we just said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we used your eggs and I carried babies, because I knew I wanted to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. That was all I knew I wanted. So we decided to do that. We went to a fertility clinic here and we were told that unfortunately they did not have a license and nowhere in Ireland had a license. And so it wasn't illegal, but technically it wasn't legal either.
So what, do you know why?
Just that our laws had not evolved that far. Like it had only been X amount of years that it was even available to, you know, gay couples, mm-hmm. let alone, you know, even slightly more advanced treatments. Not even that it's more advanced, because it's not, it's just IVF split between two people.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, we had no way of accessing surrogacy or anything like that. So yeah, it's just that it wasn't available. Huh. So we were told that if we wanted to do it, we needed to go abroad. So we ended up going to Barcelona and that's how Ava was conceived. And then when we wanted to have a second child, we did go back to Barcelona. We had embryos still there and we just were not successful with treatment there again. So we had to start a fresh cycle and we ended up changing clinics because we just love traveling so much. we weren't entirely happy with the clinic. So we changed and we decided to go to one in Portugal.
Portugal.
Ooh. Yeah.
And so you finished up all of your embryos at the place in Spain. So you were like, okay, well, we're all out here. So it's a good breaking point to try someplace else.
Exactly. We kind of took it as a point of, you know what, it's not happening here. Let's go somewhere else. Start fresh. So, and it worked the first time when we went to the clinic.
Well, so that's a follow-up to my question. How long were you in Barcelona for the first try?
So both times when we did the full like fresh cycle, we stayed approximately 3-ish weeks. So we had started.
Oh, both of you?
For both of us, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we didn't go back and forth. We started the treatment at home, which was a lot of figuring out what to do because we didn't necessarily have any fertility support in Dublin. So we kind of just had to work it out for ourselves. You know, the clinic would tell us what scans we needed, what bloods we needed, what medication we needed to get. But then we sometimes had to translate that for our doctors here who had no idea.
So were you just going to like a regular OB? Like a regular
not even an OB, like a GP.
Oh, wow.
Just a general practitioner. Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Wow.
And the first time around, we had a different doctor who was kind of less knowledgeable. And then the second time around, we had a GP who at least had other, not necessarily same-sex couples, but other couples who had gone abroad for treatment. So was kind of up to speed with how that might work. And, you know, it was okay with translating a foreign prescription onto an Irish prescription, because you can't just rock up with a Portuguese prescription to a pharmacy here and say, hey, I want these drugs. You need to have that on an Irish prescription form. So, you know, there was a lot
of doctors in Barcelona would write a prescription, send it to you.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to bring it to your GP and they would have to rewrite the prescription in.
Yep.
But the meds are there. The meds are there in Ireland, all of them.
Yeah.
And did the doctors ever question it and be like, we're not going to do this for you? Or did you have to like go to your doctor and say, get them on board and say, this is what we're doing. You have to be helpful.
The first time around, there was a little bit of that. But the second time around, we had made all of the mistakes the first time around. So we knew what we were going to need going in. So when we actually moved practices, and that was the stipulation for moving practice, we had a conversation with the doctor beforehand and said, look, we're going to be doing this at some point this year. This is what we're going to need you to do. We do not need any resistance from you because it's stressful enough. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be happy doing this for us and, you know, doing last minute blood tests if we need, because there have been times when we've needed bloods that day, you know, because sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, it's already hard work, reciprocal IVF. It's already a complicated procedure. So adding on top of it, all this extra translating of scripts and.
Yeah. How did it work with the sperm? Like, were you able to pick your donor in Ireland and ship it to Spain or Portugal? Or did you have to choose sperm that was from those countries? Or was it country by country?
It had to be from the country. To be honest, it didn't really inform our decision that much. It wasn't that big of a deal to us. I know, like, for some people, it's like a huge part of the process. But for us, it wasn't really, you know.
Do you know what the donor sperm situation in Ireland is?
Again, it's a little bit complicated because at one point in Ireland, only anonymous donors were allowed.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, anonymous donors are being banned from the 5th of May of this year. But all clinics have stopped using it because they know it's going to be banned. So the only sperm that will be allowed to be used as of May of this year is what we call identifiable donors. I think you might call that an open donor. So
prospective
parents have no knowledge of the donor, and the donor has no knowledge of the parent, prospective parents. But at the age of 18, any children born would have the option of accessing identifying information about the donor. So that's the only type of donation that's going to be allowed.
Now, if you had done just straight up IVF with, like, maybe donor sperm, could you have done that at a clinic in Ireland or no?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Since we have done this in, I think, August of last year, I had loads of people messaging me on one day. I just all of a sudden had loads of notifications. People tagged me in something and I was like, what's going on? And it turns out that clinic, which is one of the biggest clinics in Ireland that we originally went to, who said they couldn't do it for us, had just put out all of this stuff on their socials and on their website saying that they were now going to be offering it. So that was August, September last year. And I was like, what? So I got right in touch with them and I was like, what? When did this happen? How did you get a license? Are you the only clinic? You know, I guess it was a bit bittersweet because it would have been amazing to be able to stay here to access that. But at the same time, if we had stayed here, we wouldn't have got the kids that we did get. So, there's absolutely no regrets. And it's great for people going forward that they won't have to travel if they don't want to. So since then, I've actually kind of worked with that clinic a bit, you know, just speaking at a couple of events for them because they don't really have people here who have gone through the treatment. So a lot of people who are wanting to do it, you know, obviously want to talk to other people who have done it and hear about it. So, no, it's great that it's being provided now. So I think they're the only clinic so far, but all the others will definitely follow suit.
Hey, it's Hillary Frank from The Longest Shortest Time, an award-winning podcast about parenthood and reproductive health. We talk about things like sex ed, birth control, pregnancy, bodily autonomy, and of course, kids of all ages. But you don't have to be a parent to listen. If you like surprising, funny, poignant stories about human relationships and, you know, periods, The Longest Shortest Time is for you. Find us in any podcast app or at longestshortesttime.com.
Jimmy, you are going to be so proud of me.
What? You finally joined BetterHelp?
No, of course I didn't. But I got my sister to join BetterHelp.
What's wrong with you? I mean, that's good. I mean, you got her to take charge of her mental health with the help of an experienced professional through the beautiful online service known as BetterHelp that I've been telling you about for months.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Listen, you know what I love for her is that she's going to be able to book sessions from the comfort of her house. She can have all her sessions on her couch and she doesn't have to wait in waiting rooms and she doesn't have to hold on the phone. I mean, she can answer simple questions online for BetterHelp. And they're going to assess her needs because she's got needs. And they're going to hook her up with her very own licensed professional therapist in less than a day.
I mean, and she can log in anytime to send a message to her therapist and she'll get a really quick response. I love that. Ellen and I, we chat back and forth, back and forth.
Oh, I'm sure Ellen just loves that.
I'm just
kidding. I'm sure she does.
Okay, thanks.
I am so happy for my sister for this. Like, it was just her birthday. I was like, come on, do this.
That's a good gift.
And since BetterHelp's network is worldwide, I feel like she maybe got a therapist that she wouldn't have been able to find in her hometown. I think they're gelling. She's been telling me about it. And look, it's also more affordable than traditional counseling.
Yeah, and they offer financial aid.
Listen, folks, you heard us here. It's time for you to visit betterhelp.com/OCT, like my sister. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join the other 700,000 people who are taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Oh, and we have a special offer for ITOCT listeners. You get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
Betterhelp.com/OCT.
H-E-L-P. BetterHelp.
Just like my sister. But you mentioned the license thing. Mm-hmm. Was that BS, or like, how were they able to get a license but they weren't before? Was it a governmental issue, or?
So here's the thing. Even though they now have this license, any children born of a result of those treatments are still not going to have both of their parents recognized. So wow. It's really bizarre that they've been granted a license to do something that will put children born as a result of that treatment into a really precarious legal position, you know? But I suppose that's the way it's always been, even when, you know, just the license for a standard IVF with donor sperm. Up until now, children born as a result of that treatment did not have both of their parents recognized.
Any IVF? Really?
Any IVF, yeah. Up until now, and that will be changing later this year, but only for certain types of fertility treatments.
Wow.
So wait a minute. If I'm gathering what you're saying correctly, one of you guys is not on your kid's birth certificates legally recognized as a parent?
100%. That's right, yeah. So in Ireland, the person who gives birth to a child is considered their legal parent. Mm-hmm. And up until now, the only people that could be considered legal parents were one woman and one man. Oof. So in our position, because I gave birth, I am considered the legal parent.
Wow. Yeah.
But your wife, it's her eggs, and she is not considered a legal parent of her own children, of her eggs.
Yes.
Her DNA.
Yes.
Yeah, it's her DNA. Yes. That's crazy.
Yes.
But same-sex marriage is legal now in
Ireland. It is since 2015.
Okay. And they're just being slow on the rest of the laws.
I mean, my mouth is open because I'm like, how does that even, what, I don't understand how that's even possible.
Well, that's a really hard thing that we've kind of had to fight against, this public perception, because everyone assumes, because we have marriage equality, mm-hmm. that extended to all things to do with marriage and family and everything. Usually when you talk to people, you just get this reaction, what? We have marriage equality. How is that even possible? Right. But you're married. Right. What? You know, it's so crazy that you can have one and not the other. So we do have marriage equality, but it's unfinished. It's not going to be finished until we have equality for families that, right. you know, are made as a result of these marriages.
Yeah.
You have a marriage equality on paper, but you do not have all the rights. It's just basically paper.
It's exactly. I always say it's like they treat you as a married couple in every other way,
right.
except when it comes to your kids.
So what would happen if, like, God forbid something happened to you? Would your wife automatically get custody?
No, not automatically.
Like, she would have to fight for it. And if your family came in and said, she would lose.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, we're a small country and that has not happened to date. You know, it's not like we have millions of families who are impacted by this and it hasn't happened. So we don't know exactly what would happen, but absolutely it could, especially if you got a judge who was just very, I don't know, against
homophobic
same-sex families. Right.
Homophobic family too. You know,
sure,
like,
absolutely, yeah.
Well, I mean,
you don't know what people do in times of grief and loss, you know?
The sad thing is it might take a case like this coming to the courts for things to maybe possibly change in the future. You need a precedent-setting case.
Well, that's a funny transition,
scary,
Jamie, because I believe Renee may have something to do with that.
Oh, let's get into the nitty-gritty of that.
So this has never been challenged. So it's never been challenged to the government why same-sex couples or LGBTQ+ couples are being discriminated against, and more so that their children are being discriminated against. No one has ever challenged that. The only case really that was kind of a high profile case is kind of similar was in the case of a surrogacy case. Again, this obviously affects anyone who acts as a surrogate, because if you act as a surrogate, say for your sister, you're going to be put down as the birth mother. And
as the mom.
If you are married, your husband is going to be put down as the father. Because if you're married, your husband automatically goes down as the father of any children that you give birth to.
So surrogacy doesn't really work.
I know.
It can't work. It doesn't work.
It's like you have to have the baby someplace else.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of people who access surrogacy here just go to a country, for example, the Ukraine or someplace that they can get a birth certificate with both of the prospective parents' names on it.
And then the child has dual citizenship because they are automatically Irish.
Yeah.
From Irish. Yeah. From Irish.
And there's just the assumption. Yeah. And just there's the assumption of parentage if you're a straight couple. You know, there's just that assumption. Right. Whereas if a, say, a gay couple went and did that, you wouldn't have the same assumption of parentage.
No.
So it's very complicated. Huh. So there was a case before marriage equality came in where a sister had acted as a surrogate and they were trying to, you know, get a declaration that the actual mother, you know, she had used her, it was her sister's mm-hmm. and her sister and her brother-in-law's embryo that she just carried. And they were trying to get them declared as parents, and it basically they did not win.
They didn't win?
No, because under the Irish constitution, the definition of a mother is to do with the person who gives birth. So in order to have won, they would need to change the Irish constitution. And to change a constitution, you have to have a referendum. So even though the judges in that case like admitted that it was crazy and that our laws needed to evolve to reflect the times that we live in and the access to fertility treatments and things are not the same as they were, you know, 40, 50 years ago. So yeah, they didn't win. But since that, no one has brought a case before the High Court or the whatever with anything to do with fertility or not or LGBT parenting.
I'm still stuck on the fact those people lost.
I know.
Like this just seems so asinine to me.
It's like, because changing a constitution requires so much work, they don't want to do it.
Do you think the lack of change has to do with like conservative or
laziness
views or religion? Because I mean, your country is pretty religious. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of that kind of left over. It's also a bit of a tricky time at the moment because we're about to have a general election. So our government could be completely changed this time next week. So the people who are currently in power are fairly liberal and they say they do support equality for all children of LGBT parents, but it just hasn't happened. And it's been any progress has been very slow to happen. And I think it's not necessarily to do with conservative views. I mean, obviously that does slow it up because yes, there are obviously opposition groups and conservative people who also might hold high positions who are opposing things and slowing them down. But I think the main reason why it's been so slow is because it just doesn't affect enough people and it's not a voting issue. And people don't know about
it. Isn't that gross?
Ugh.
Oh my God, I'm so tired, Jamie.
I'm not.
What do you mean? Okay.
I use the yoga sleep dome. You heard of it?
Yeah. I had one. My daughter stole it.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Yeah. Well, for those of our listeners who don't know, it's a natural sound machine that uses soothing fan-based sounds. It puts me right to sleep and keeps me that way.
Yeah.
Love it.
No, I hear it in the hallway walking by my daughter's bedroom. But how are you doing this when you have your two-year-old sleeps in the bed with you?
Yeah, we co-sleep. I put him to bed at his bedtime, flip that yoga sleep dome switch, and he falls asleep after a bit of your normal toddler coercion, you know. But the beauty of the dome, it just puts just enough noise in the room so that Anne and I can have our adult evening in the living room, and he stays asleep. Relax. We watch Netflix. Big time fun.
Yeah, okay.
It's nothing you're That's thinking better. Of it. But the beauty is I can turn the volume up loud on the TV without disturbing the baby's slumber in our teeny tiny 600 square foot apartment. And our daughter also uses one. She uses the Wish multi-sound yoga sleep machine.
Yeah, which I had that one too, and my son took it.
Well, it has a bunch of different sounds. She loves the ocean sound, so we hear the ocean from her room, and we hear the wind from his. It's
a lot going on in your apartment.
And the TV in the living room, and it's 600 square feet.
Well, listen, my kids are using the yoga sleep sound machines. They sleep phenomenally.
That's
I think the
lucky.
Only one in the house not getting sleep is me, so I need to get one.
Yeah, you do.
Another one.
Oh, also, yoga sleep products are backed by a 101-night promise. Meaning you can try them risk-free. And they make sound machines for home, travel, baby. So they got you covered.
Yeah, no, I'm on it.
Yeah. Okay, good. And guess what? You're in luck because our listeners, and I guess you too, Robin, can go to yogasleep.com/OCT to save an exclusive 20% off a sound machine for your natural sleep for the whole family.
That's yogasleep.com/OCT to get 20% off. yogasleep.com/OCT. Typing as we speak. So where are you? You have a court case pending, correct?
Yeah. So we basically, after our second daughter was born, yeah, we decided we needed to do something because the way it was looking, as I mentioned, they are bringing in laws in May of this year for some situations. So some families will be covered and some children will have both of their parents recognized. But it's a very small bracket mm-hmm. of families. And if you don't tick all of the boxes and meet all the criteria, you're just going to be excluded from it.
What is the criteria? How are they determining this?
Two females, an Irish fertility clinic, using your own eggs with an identifiable sperm donor, and the child has to be born in Ireland.
So you wouldn't qualify
on a couple of counts. Yeah, because it was not an Irish clinic and because we did not use my own eggs. So we knew that we were going to be excluded from it, and we knew that how long this legislation has taken. Like, this was supposed to come in 5 years ago. This was passed 5 years ago when the marriage equality was passed, but there were so many mistakes made with it that it just never got commenced. So it's been kind of sitting there for 5 years. And they keep promising it's going to happen this year. It's going to happen this year. There have been like 7 missed deadlines to commence this, and it still hasn't happened.
Heartbreaking.
So even though it's supposed to happen now in May, we'll see now if it actually does happen in May or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew how long it had taken to get to that point. And through different meetings we've had with different people in government, we were like, well, how much longer could it take until they get to our situation? Like,
yeah.
So we're in the process of that at the moment. Basically suing the state, nothing monetary, but just to have our family recognized and to have both of our children's birth certs amended to reflect their parents.
Wow.
So, two questions. One, does that mean you have to pay for it? And two, will it set a precedent if you win?
One, no, we don't, because we found an amazing team of barristers and lawyers who are willing to help us because they believe in this. Yeah.
That's good.
Thank God.
Two, yes and no. I mean, it would have to set a precedent. Like, it would have to. And mm-hmm. we hope that it would help other families to do the same thing. And it would create a bit of momentum for other people to be like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Or let's all do this. The thing is, it wouldn't just automatically change the law. It wouldn't just mean that anyone else in our position would have automatic rights. It wouldn't just change the law, but it would definitely like mean that anyone else who wanted to do the same thing, they would have to win it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to look at changing the law very quickly then, because if a high court said, yes, Ireland as a state is in your children's rights are in, you know, they're violating your children's rights.
Yeah.
If a court decided that, it would look very, very bad for the Irish state, and they would have to look at amending the legislation very, very quickly.
And the more folks who do it,
yeah,
just inundate them with more and more cases so that it seems like less work to just change the law,
yeah,
than to deal with all these court cases.
And the thing is, if we could do a class action, we would, but for some reason, Ireland doesn't allow class actions. It's just not a thing here.
Man, Ireland.
I know. Because that would seem like a much simpler option.
Yeah.
Have you found other families affected by this that are joining forces with you? Or are you going this alone right now?
So that is the exciting development.
Ooh,
is that for a long time, it was kind of just us. Not that, you know, a lot of other people weren't affected by this, but I guess because I am a writer and a blogger and I speak out publicly about a lot of things. There had just been a lot of, I guess, solo campaigning, like a lot, mm-hmm. a lot, like a lot of posts that went viral, a lot of magazine articles, a lot of radio interviews, TV interviews.
Good job.
And I just, it was just constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was really, really difficult. to kind of keep that momentum up. But through doing that, I guess I had built up a bit of a profile. So everyone who knew me knew what this situation was. And I had made a lot of connections within the LGBTQ plus parenting community. I knew most of the people kind of in that community. And we started doing like a series of family meetups, because again, there was just nothing like that. And I think it's so important for our kids to see other families like ours. And yeah, I think it was only our second ever meetup. And I don't even know how, but it just turned into almost like a call to action kind of thing. And I ended up saying a few words, and people were just really like up in arms and like, let's do something, let's join forces, let's start a campaign, like the marriage referendum campaign, and let's do something, because if we all join together, they have to listen to us.
That's amazing. So,
like, literally within 24 hours, we had a name, we had a website, we had someone on board who had contacted me through Instagram who wanted to help on our branding.
Wow.
We just literally had all of this stuff happen within 24 hours. It was very good timing, because my wife and I had secured a meeting with Simon Harris. He is our current Minister for Health, who is responsible for most of this legislation that's going to affect us. And that meeting was 2 weeks from the time that this happened. And we decided to, you know, form this campaign group and use the day of the meeting as our official launch, and also to stage a protest demonstration type thing in front of the Department of Health.
Oh, poor Simon.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what was coming.
They did not know what was coming.
Jamie,
Do
you know that us gays have it hard?
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about when it comes to making babies.
Oh, okay. I mean,
okay. So not only do we have to spend a bajillion dollars and countless hours at doctor's appointments, but when it comes to actually getting pregnant, you know, we don't know if our gear is in working order. You know, we haven't really had the opportunity to test the equipment out, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
It's so weird.
I mean, but Robin, that's why modern fertility was created. You know what it is? It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones with a simple sample finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days.
I mean, it would have been nice to have had this when we were trying. But,
seriously.
But I have to say I'm glad that others have it.
Oh, yeah. Because
honestly, traditional testing with your doctor, it can cost over $1,000.
I know.
But modern fertility costs only $159 to get the same information.
That's kind
of amazing. Critical. And if you do go to modernfertility.com/OCT, guess what? You're getting $20 off your test.
Wow.
Oh, hey, and I'm not even done yet. Also, if you have HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility.
That's amazing. And here's what you're going to get. You're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, your hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags. The results go in depth into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps.
I just wonder how that would have changed your whole trajectory, Jamie.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I have no. I really wonder that. I do.
Anyway, well, this is great for those of us who want to have kids today or maybe one day. We all need information to make the decision that's best for ourselves.
True that. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
So get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT. modernfertility.com/OCT.
Test those eggs.
Prick the fingers, folks.
It was funny, like the only reason we got that meeting with him was because we had launched a petition a few months earlier calling for equality for all children of LGBTQ plus families. And I had never been able to speak to him directly. He'd never replied to my emails, my tweets, my message, just never.
You are relentless.
About 2 hours after that petition hit 20,000, I got an email from him.
Oh my God.
Like literally hours after.
Hello, Renee.
Yeah.
It's Simon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is this whole talk of protection of the children of LGBTQ. Like that is something that never really comes up in our politics in America, the children of LGBTQ
families. Well, I mean, it is in the
families.
Sense of like second parent adoption.
Yes, but it's not like,
but not,
you don't like, this seems to be an ongoing phrase that is used in Ireland. Protect our children, protect our children.
Yeah.
And it's not something we really say in regards to LGBTQ families. We talk about equality for LGBTQ families. We talk about equality. But yeah. It's not so much as protect the children, which I think is it's interesting, and it's an interesting distinction. And it really is that you guys just don't your children are being denied rights.
Yes.
But being denied a parent, that's outrageous.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Which is why there are so many people up in arms.
Yeah. That campaign group is called Equality for Children, because that's mm-hmm. what it's about. It's about equality for our children. It's not necessarily about us as adults. It's about the fact that our kids, as you said, are denied access to one of their parents. And that's simply just not good enough.
Jamie should join your group. I think she just wrote your press release.
Awesome.
So what are next steps? You want to win the case, and then the organization is running at the same time in parallel.
Yeah. So we've had two kind of protest demonstrations. We have formed a kind of core committee. We have people working on, you know, PR, social media, political advocacy, fundraising, education events, all across the board. We're set up as an actual company. So we're not just, you know, we're here to stay until this gets done. And it's been incredible to see like the support from the community. We had our first fundraising event last week, which was a table quiz, and we don't have the final figure, but we think it's over. We raised over 5,000.
Amazing.
Wow.
We thought we might get two, but you know, that's a huge amount of money in one night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The support has just been incredible. So at the moment we're kind of at a standstill because we need to see who the new government is.
Is there a chance it could swing right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We all know how that goes. And mm-hmm.
we're living
it. Yep. Yeah. So we're just we're waiting to see what happens. You know, obviously we're asking people at the moment to find out they're giving their vote to and what their stance is on equality for our families and our children. So there's a lot of political lobbying and advocacy that's gonna need to happen. And then just a lot of, you know, fundraising, because we have no funding, we have no money. We need to print a lot of stuff. We need to hold events to educate people. There's going to be a couple of events being held in the next couple of months to help families who won't be covered by the upcoming legislation, and also to help families who will be covered, because people don't know. That's the thing. People who think they will be covered in May, they might not actually be. Or vice versa. People are really confused about the ins and outs of the criteria. So we're going to be holding a couple of events where people can actually sit down almost like a clinic and sit down one-to-one with a lawyer. And, you know, we'll have 10 tables going and people can come and get a bit of advice.
You're really becoming you are a force to be reckoned with,
well,
Renee.
Together with, I think it's, you know, when people with a common goal come together, I think huge things can be done.
Yeah. You're unstoppable now. You
and
guys
we're all parents, and we all just want the best for our kids. That's
when it's for the kids, it gives you like this resilience and strength that you wouldn't have if it was just
absolutely.
For a cause.
Yes.
For
I always say that if it was anything else, I would have stopped a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're doing all this while you have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old,
so. And you're working.
Yep.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
In your spare time.
Yeah. I see politics in your future.
I don't know.
Like you're gonna lead that country someday. How amazing would that be?
How people can help, whether it's people in Ireland or people maybe can people who are not in Ireland help? Like what can our listeners do to raise
give us your money?
Do you have a link we'll be able to share?
We do, of course. I think we still have an active GoFundMe. You can go onto our website, www.equalityforchildren.ie. There you'll just get a lot more information about the situation in Ireland, and you know, lots of our family stories up there. follow us on all of our social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Equality for Children. And that will kind of just keep you up to date with how things are progressing and different initiatives that we're starting. And
also give you
money. Absolutely, yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Yes. Money. Yeah, for anyone who can. You
money,
know,
please.
It all adds up. Even just the price of a cup of coffee.
Yes, yeah. This is noble and beautiful what you're doing. It's beautiful.
I mean, I feel like the mom in me is like, I'm so proud of you. I know. But I'm so sorry you're going through this and that you're being forced to, you know, find this inner Norma way. But I think, like Jamie said, you're going to really do some great things here, I hope.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thank you for helping to share what's happening here. Because as I said, you know, if people don't know what's happening, they can't do anything to help.
Oof. I'm telling you, I am going to be watching their court case.
This is amazing.
Yeah. But I have to say that the thing that is really sort of sad is even if they win, I think she mentioned this, even if they win, it sets a precedent, but it doesn't change the fate of other families.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's really messed up.
Yeah.
So I hope that her Equality with Children org, like, I hope they're able to get some traction.
They're making change.
I'm like so nervous for them for the.
No, it's going to happen.
The change in government and what's going to happen. And
I just, when you break it down to, it's about protecting our children's rights.
Yeah.
It changes things. Yeah. You know?
And well, for us it does, but not for homophobes.
Which is ridiculous, which is so fucked up, which is like, we even got a troller recently who told us on our Facebook.
Yeah, he compared it to elephants and snakes.
That's a different troller.
No, we got a lot of trollers
on
that one.
Women having sex together he compared that to elephant having sex with a snake. And then another person said that he just doesn't think that lesbians do a good job of raising kids because they teach their kids to hate men and they push these gender
non-conforming things.
Roles on their children before their children are even able to make it. Like, what is he even talking about?
I know, it was just such a weird, like, all lesbian
stuff. And then he blocked us, so I couldn't respond. I can't. So we just have to
disengage. I told Jamie she's got to. Yeah, you got to just not take it personally.
But I can't help. I get so angry. So
you really
if you guys are on the social with us, feel free to chime in.
Help Jamie out, please.
One person wrote, fuck off, dude, or something.
I love that one.
Great.
Yeah, I love
she
that
was
one.
Good. She
yeah,
was
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
But
that,
like, come on, guys. I try to take the high road and, like, try to reason with them, and it just never works.
Everybody,
so
they have no
stupid
idea how many texts back and forth Jamie and I are doing. Like, do we respond? No, maybe we should just
block
be quiet.
Them, block
just be quiet.
Well, some guy sent some really terrible stuff.
Yeah,
we blocked him right away. Some pictures that were really inappropriate.
All right. All right. Well, so that was a great, great interview. I love Renee. She was great. She was wonderful. And I'm once again impressed that somebody put their kid to bed so quickly and easily.
What's wrong with me?
Consistency.
That's what everybody keeps saying.
You got it, Jamie. You could do it. You're consistently inconsistent. How about that?
Stop.
All right, everyone. Let's keep this conversation going on the social. Join our Patreon community, patreon.com/ovariestalk. We just have so much bonus content over there. And, like, you know, even, like, cool stuff like seeing Stacey Ann Chin read a poem or Rosie. Mm-hmm. And Renee's sending us some stuff, too. So it's like, we're going to have some really good stuff over there.
It's good stuff. So join it. Or you can follow us also on Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries_talk on Instagram, If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook. And you can also join our private community there and talk to listeners.
And thank you to our sponsors, BetterHelp, Yoga Sleep, and Modern Fertility. You guys are really helping us make this show possible, so we just appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right, should we go, Jamie?
They don't want to hear us anymore.
They don't.
Okay, eggs.
Eggs, ovaries, out.
Hey.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out. Queer Family Podcast.
If you've ever felt like your family didn't fit the traditional mold, this show is for you. I'm Jamie, host of the Queer Family Podcast. And every week we highlight LGBTQIA+ families and the beautiful, unique ways we build and show up for our families in a world that wasn't designed for us. We celebrate, highlight, uplift, and normalize queer families because our stories deserve center stage. New episodes every Monday. Listen wherever you get your pods.
Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.